And all the folks out there now watching tonight, I hope that I have something that's going to be helpful for you. Because we live in extraordinary times. These are the times, as one man said, that try men's souls. We live in a time of the unknown. We do not know what tomorrow holds. So therefore, we have to turn back and cling to the one who holds tomorrow. And we're going to talk about him tonight. We're going to talk about faith in God. Father, I pray, Lord, now that you'd bless your holy word. Give me wisdom in it. Give me the gift of teaching, Father. Thank you for Brother Caldwell and the beautiful songs that he sang. And Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness. And I pray that I'll say something that'll be helpful to someone. Amen. All right, now I'm going to read for you from the book of Genesis, chapter number 18 and verse number 25. It says, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Now this is Abraham talking to God, and this is about God's character. You have to cling to his character. And this is what's important about the Lord. He changes not. He's immutable. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I'm thankful for that fact tonight, that God's the same as he always has been. Circumstances around us are changing by the moment, and we have no idea what tomorrow holds. We don't. This is a very uncertain time. I've never lived in a time like this in all my life. But there's one thing about it. It causes us to focus our attention where it belongs, and that's on the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter number 21, verse 26, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." There are those that are teaching folks that we're going through the tribulation period right now. I do not believe that. But I do believe that the Lord is warning us and preparing us for what's coming, because I believe it's soon. Fact is, it may be sooner than any of us think. And what's important for all of us in here tonight, and you watching by the internet, is that you're ready to meet the Lord. That's the most important thing you or I or anyone can do. Remember what it says in Luke 21, verse 26. "Men's hearts failing them for fear, looking after those things which are coming on the earth." That's remarkable. For tonight, we have an unseen enemy, invisible to the naked eye. Yet that unseen enemy is killing people right and left. So therefore, the character of God is that God will do right. He will always do right. He must do right. He can't do anything but right. And anything that God does, he's just in doing it. And he was just, of course, when Abraham was pleading for Sodom. His nephew was there, Lot, and his family. And Abraham was a man of love. He was a man of graciousness. He was a merciful type man. Abraham was a man who was a man of faith. He loved the Lord, and he served God all the days of his life. And so therefore he appealed to God's character and said, "Shall not the judge of the whole earth do right?" Well, I say to you tonight, from the bottom of my soul, he'll do right. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 50 and verse number 20, we read these words, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." Now these are the words of Joseph, and I'm sure if you've read the Bible, you've read about Joseph time and time and time again. Joseph's character is one of the most splendid in all the Old Testament. He rises head and shoulders above all of his brethren. They're nowhere near Joseph. Joseph had grace about him. And of course, if you know the story of Joseph, you know that he forgave his brethren and he rejoiced when he saw them. But he had this to say. He says, "You meant it to be evil. You thought evil against me. But note carefully, God meant it for good." Now, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to tell you this. He can work all things together for good, for those that love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. This is what he tells us in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. How's he going to do it? I'll leave that to God. Where's the good preacher? I'll leave that to God. But I believe his word, and I believe he cannot fail us. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 6 and verse 17, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Revelation chapter number 6 and verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, death, and with the beast of the earth. We're coming into a thing. I believe we're actually coming into a time when the Lord Jesus Christ will reveal himself as the Lamb of God to this whole world. Now, folks, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, every last human being on this earth will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God. And the Bible says he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The book of John, chapter number 1. It means that the people today who think that Christ lived 2,000 years ago and doesn't mean anything are in for quite a shock, for they're going to see one as he approaches and appears. Daniel chapter 7, verse 10 says this: A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. In other words, millions. And the judgment was set, and the books were open. Then in the book of Romans chapter 14, verse 11, it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. For the first time in their lives, a lot of young people out there may be thinking about their eternity. This is a good thing. For the first time in their life, they may realize that it's all not about a party and about having a good time and feel good and do as you please, that there is a debt to pay. That's a good thing. So therefore, faith in God is faith in His purpose. Then there's faith in His faithfulness. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 said, Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I'm glad in my darkest hour, at my weakest moment, when I am certainly failing, that He'll always be with me. He'll carry me through when I can't carry myself. He'll be there when I wouldn't even be able to show up myself. He'll give everything we need. He is everything we need. Christ is all we need. The book of Exodus chapter number 8 and verse 22 said, And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Now, you know the story of Goshen, the children of Israel in Egyptian captivity and bondage. Yet that curse that came did not come on Goshen. God has a way of protecting His people. I plead for that protection tonight. Scripture says, The angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear Him. And I cry out to Him tonight for protection. Protection against the unseen enemy, against the invisible foe. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 6, And the ravens brought forth bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. So Elijah was fed by the hand of God. God's able to provide. He can set a table in the wilderness. He can cause manna to fall down from heaven. He can do above and beyond all that we ask or think. Have you been to the grocery store lately? Have you seen the empty shelves? This is the reality that we're living in today. I don't know what tomorrow's going to be. I don't think it's any worse or not. I have no idea. But He's going to be the same God tomorrow that He is today. And if He needs to send a raven by your house to feed you, come right on in, son. I'm ready for whatever God provides. The book of Deuteronomy chapter number 33, verse 27 is a beautiful scripture. Let me read it for you tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall carry his lambs like a shepherd. I'll tell you what. I believe that Charles Spurgeon was one of the was a servant that God used in a great way in the 1800s in Great Britain. Charles Spurgeon loved the Lord. And here's what he said about that. He says that in the 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th chapter of Deuteronomy, he says, first it talks about God being above us. Then it says God is beneath us with these everlasting arms. Then he says God is before us as he leads us in the way. And then he's all around us. Amen. That's good. I like that. He is definitely around us. 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 1 said, "And David spake to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge. My Savior, thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me," that's what you're seeing now, the waves of death, "the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." Isn't that wonderful? And the Bible says he heard him. Time and again, the scripture says he heard him. That means God has an answer on the way when he hears. I found this on the internet by J.R. Miller. And I thought this was a beautiful thing. I want to read it for you tonight. Just listen. These are wonderful words. J.R. Miller. "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Deuteronomy 33:27. The picture suggests that of a little child lying in the strong arms of a father who's able to withstand all storms and dangers. We think of John lying upon Christ's bosom. At the two extremes of life, childhood and old age, the promise comes with special assurance. "He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom." Isaiah 40 verse 11 is a word for the children. "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you." Isaiah 46 verse 4. Brings its blessed comfort to the aged. God comes to us first in our infancy through our mothers who carries us in their womb, in their arms. Yet they're only dim revelations of God for a time. They leave us after teaching us a little of God's tenderness, but God himself remains when they are gone. His arms never unclasp. The thought of God's embracing arms is very suggestive. What does an arm represent? What is the thought suggested by the arm of God enfolded around his child? The language is human. The scriptures speak continually of God in this way. They tell us of his eyes looking down to behold his people, that he never slumbers nor sleeps, meaning that his watchful care never intermits. They tell us that he listens to earth's cries and hears the sighing of the oppressed and the groaning of the prisoner in his dungeon, meaning that he hears our cries of distress. They speak of his wiping away tears as a mother would dry a child's tears, meaning that he comforts his people in their sorrow. They represent him as holding us by the right hand as a father holds his child's hand in his own when it walks over dangerous places, meaning that his guidance is personal and strong. All these and like statements in human language of what God does for his people are efforts to explain to us by means of human acts with which we are familiar his wonderful care and kindness. Thus the figure of the arm as applied to God is to be interpreted by what it would mean in human friendship. One meaning is protection. A father puts his arm about his child when it is in danger. God protects his children. "With your mighty arm you redeemed your people." Psalm chapter 77 verse 15. "Be our strength every morning and our salvation in time of trouble." Isaiah 33 verse 2. "His arm brought salvation." Isaiah 59 verse 16. "Life is full of peril. There are temptations on every hand. Enemies lurk in every shadow. Enemies strong and swift. Many people think of death with fear, dreading to meet it. But life has far more perils than death. It is easy and safe to die when one has lived a holy life. but it is hard to live. Yet we are assured that life cannot separate us from the love of God. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Also, it means as affection. The father's arm drawn around a child is a token of love. The child is held in the father's bosom, near his heart. The shepherd carries the lambs in his bosom. John lay on Jesus' bosom. The mother holds the child in her bosom because she loves it. This picture of God embracing his children is in his arms tells of his love for them. His love is tender, close, intimate. He holds them in the place of affection. It is especially in the time of danger or suffering that the mother thus embraces her child. She takes him up when he has fallen and has hurt himself, comforts him by holding him in her arms and pressing him to her bosom. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. Isaiah 66, verse 13, is a divine word. A mother said that her little sick one had scarcely been out of her arms for 3 days and three nights, holding in the arms a peculiar privilege of love for times of pain and suffering. It tells, therefore, of our Heavenly Father's tenderness toward his own when they are in distress. Another suggests by his arms strength. Another suggests endurance. And all of these are pictures of the great love that God has for his people. When Jesus was dying, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He found the everlasting arms, and underneath him when his spirit left the torn body. Stephen died praying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Acts 7:59. To a believer, dying is simply breathing the life into the embrace of God. We shall find the divine arms underneath us. Death cannot separate us from the love of God. This view of the divine care is full of inspiration and comfort. We are not saving ourselves. A strong one, the mighty one, holds us in his omnipotent clasp. We are not tossed like a leaf on life's wild sea, driven at the mercy of wind and wave. We are in the divine keeping. Our security does not depend upon our own feeble, wavering faith, but upon the omnipotence, the love, and the faithfulness of the unchanging, eternal God. We can never sink away in any flood. No power in the universe can snatch us out of his hands. Neither death, nor life, nor things present, nor things to come can separate us from the love of God. The eternal God is thy refuge. Eternal means that there's always been the eternal God. Eternal means that there's a purpose that goes from everlasting to everlasting. Eternal means that there's stability, that he's like a rock. He's always there, always will be there. I'm thankful to God tonight that the eternal God is my refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. May God bless you. I hope that we've said something that's helpful for you tonight. I hope that you'll go off and find somewhere and talk to the good Lord for a few minutes, because we face uncertain times. I don't want to put fear in your heart tonight. I want to put hope in your heart. I want you to know that nothing happens outside of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Amen. Father, in thy name I pray. I pray for every soul that's watched this tonight. I pray your blessing upon them. I pray, Heavenly Father, encouragement for them. I pray that you'd build hope in their soul. My Heavenly Father, give them light. And Lord, let your word become a sure foundation, a high tower, your rock, the buckler, and all Savior and Redeemer that we need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.